In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today we read the gospel reading of the Samaritan woman. And I wanted to focus on a part of the gospel passage today in which we read, "The woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." And so today I want to reflect on the change that happened with the Samaritan woman and what we can learn from her interaction with Christ, and how we find the type of heart that the Samaritan woman has. And so I want to compare the difference between the condemning heart and the confident heart. The condemning heart and the confident heart. After this particular passage that we read, we may ask, why did the men, when the Samaritan woman went to go and tell them about Christ, why did they listen to her? Why did they, if the Samaritan woman was one whom the community rejected, why would they have listened to her and gone to meet Christ? So we can ask, did she reject herself? Or did the community reject her? As we know that the Samaritan woman, from the little that we know about her, we know that she was married, she had five husbands, and the man that she was with at that time was not her husband. And she may have felt in her life insecurity, shame, but maybe it was that she was ashamed to have been married several times, but we don't know why. It could be that she was widowed several times. It could be that, as in some traditions, she had two children. Maybe she was trying to do what was right for her children and have a father for them. Because, of course, back then it is likely that it was the man who would have initiated a divorce between two people. So maybe she was desperate to have someone in her life, considering we didn't hear anything about her parents, because at that time, if there was a divorce, usually the woman would go and stay with her parents. But we don't see that. It almost seems that what she did could have been for reasons that for her were good things or made sense to her. So when we experience things like that what the Samaritan woman experienced, the intensity of our struggles increase, because we begin to ask ourselves, what do they think of me? What are they saying about me? And then the more that I experience this shame or embarrassment, the more crippling my life becomes. And it leads to self-rejection. Not necessarily rejection from the community, but internally, I begin to reject myself, or I say, I am deserving of being rejected. And we saw this step of self-rejection. So the first experience is shame and embarrassment, insecurity. And the second thing that happens is self-rejection. And we saw this in a couple of parts of the gospel reading. The first being that she drew water at a time that didn't make any sense. She drew water in the hottest time of the day, and she didn't go with the other women who would draw water in the early morning in the cool, the time of the cool weather. And so she is willing to experience a very dreadful heat midday because she feels she is worthy, she feels is worthy of dividing her from the community. She feels that there's something about her that is worthy of her being divided from the community. The other indication is that her tone with Christ, we know that she wasn't being the most polite with him. Maybe it was because the weather was bad or it was hot, but nonetheless, clearly there was some tension from her part as she was speaking to the Lord. And so then we start to find the opportunity, or when we start to see, do I struggle with a condemning heart, or can I, do I accept the confident heart? Do I have the confident heart? Because it brings us to the next question, which is, what caused the shift in the Samaritan woman's attitude? Why was she all of a sudden in a place where she would insert herself back in her community? We read, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. So what did Christ tell her? Did he tell her about her sins? Did he tell her about, well, these are all the things that you did wrong? From her perspective, if we look at it from her perspective, if she feels ashamed, then she perceives that everyone already knows her sins, right? If she has rejected herself, then that means that she already perceives that everyone knows her mistakes, her sins. Why would she jump for joy when Christ would come and tell her all the sins that she committed, all the things that she did in that context? So what did he tell her? He told her the things that nobody knew. He told her the things that she perceived no one would ever know. He told her all the good things that she had done. He told her of all the virtues that supported her without her realizing. He told her about her intentions and however they were received by others, but they were known by him. And that's why she went joyfully to the people to share with them this person who actually told her something that truly nobody else knew. And maybe the community listened, the people responded to her in a positive way, because maybe they were waiting for her. Maybe they did care about her. For whatever the reason, they were still compelled to follow her to go and meet with Christ. Why is it that the Lord would have said something, would have showed her, revealed to her his knowledge of her goodness? There is the story of this monk, and maybe you even heard about the most recent story about the woman in Egypt who was dead for like 16 minutes and then came back to life. And you find that there are many stories where there's an account of someone who departs from this world and experiences a time in heaven where they experience this moment of being in this abyss, being in a state of almost like a waiting place, a place where nothing is there. So there's the story of this monk who died and he came back to life. And he was talking about how there was this nothingness, and all of a sudden, the sins of this monk were being brought to his memory. All of the sins that he says, I had never confessed, and he said, even the sins that I didn't even know were sins, yet it was being brought to my memory all of those times. And so these sins are attacking the monk in this very isolating or lonely place. And then he says that then the small virtues that he displayed so imperfectly in his life, mind you, the small virtues that he displayed so imperfectly in his life, would speak in this monk's defense. So, what was it that presented or reminded the person of their sins in this abyss? It was Satan. Even in this, if I remember correctly, the woman who shared her experience recently says that there was like a lion, a very scary lion. And so Satan was there and is there to remind us of our sins. Mind you, there's a difference between us being aware of our sins and being repentant versus I am being, someone wants to constantly expose my sins. And so when this happens, it's coming from Satan. When the characteristics of God in you are being pointed out, it is from God himself. Because he seeks to bring out everything that is in, that is the image of himself. Because that is how he created us, in the image of God. So, although I have these sins, but the one to expose them is not going to be God. God, on the contrary, when these people call upon the saints and they call upon God, immediately they come to rescue. And that's why he reminds us that even when the small virtues that he had, even when he did them imperfectly, it was enough to conquer the sin. In the Epistle of St. John, we read, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." We have confidence towards God. So, there is this fight of the condemning heart, the heart that wants us to lose hope, and there is the heart that recognizes its weakness yet strives for whatever virtues it can find. And so she shares with us her joy. So how did the Samaritan woman express to us what it is like to have the confident heart? She didn't need the praise of man to sustain her identity or her calling as a Christian. She abandoned the things that we ourselves many times use as metrics for others to accept us. One thing was appearance. Her appearance. She didn't care about her appearance. Think about whenever she left the water pot. She went in the worst time of the day. So she goes back to these people, and she's probably smelly. Her hair is probably all messed up. And she's, you know, breathing hard because she is running back. She doesn't appear to be someone that you would go and follow them. But when she felt known by God, when she found that she can have a confident heart, then she didn't care about how men would receive her. She just cared that God received her. The other thing that she shows us is that even intellectually, in today's gospel, the Lord on purpose compares the disciples and the Samaritan woman. The Lord told her about the living water, and she kept asking, what is this living water? She doesn't understand what he's saying. But he says, but if you just ask for it, I can give you the living water and you will never thirst again. And for her, it's like kind of silence. And then the disciples, when they came back and they saw a little bit of everything that was going on, they had gone to go get food. So when they came back, all they were focused on was did you eat? And he's like, well, I have a food that you don't understand. And so they kept asking each other, did you get him something to eat? Did he eat already? There's a mystery. They found a mystery with Christ, both of them. The Samaritan woman, the disciples. Things that they don't understand. He says they still are not ready to understand. And yet they put all of their faith and their hope in him because they accept the mystery of God. Because what supports them is not their appearance. What supports them is not their minds. What supports them is the confident heart. What supports them is the little virtues that they know that they don't yet understand fully, but they trust in it and they put their hope in it. Even in her evangelism, the few things that she knew to go off of when she went to go preach to all the people is that Jesus is the Messiah, he knew all things that I ever did, and he is the Savior of the world. Those were the three things that she communicated. And even St. Paul, we find, this was what he felt was the only need, what was necessary for us to have a confident heart, are these simple things. St. Paul, he says, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And in my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So she shared her joy. We said that she experienced shame, insecurity, embarrassment, and then there was a time of self-rejection, and then there was the joy of being known, and then there was the time of her to share that joy. So the sharing of her joy now is a rejection of the worldly things. It is the rejection of the care only about the personal image. It is a rejection of finding security among men, but accepting self, because there was the rejection of self, there is the acceptance of self and the acceptance of God. So we ask that the Lord to always encourage us to have this heart that is the confident heart. Yes, to be aware of our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our sins, to use them for repentance so that we may share that joy, the joy of knowing that God knows us, the joy of knowing that God always wants to present us in a beautiful light so that we may be glorified with him. To him be the glory both now and ever and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.